Aloha and mahalo to all our Hawaiian brothers and sisters. Yo dudes and dudettes on the left coast. Hey yous guys on the east coast. A nostalgic hi y'all to all my kin in Dixie. A hearty boy howdy to all the lonesome cowboys and cowgirls of the Southwest and to everybody in between in America's heartland all the way up to America's north coast. Hi guys. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Ian Punnett in for Art Bell. And as you heard, this is the day that Art is expecting the arrival of Asia Rain. I haven't checked the website lately. Perhaps there's something official there. But as of last word, everything was fine. And we were hoping for good news to pass along. Maybe you even know more than I do already on that, because I've been doing Coast to Coast Live for the last 4 hours, the show that precedes this. If you're a member of Streamlink, you might want to go back and listen to it. It's really very interesting. The author of a book called Twin Souls Merging, it's her story of her life in her body that also shares the soul of George Reeves, the TV actor who played Superman. And she is very convincing, as were the people that she worked on with the book. And you have to kind of hear it to believe it. But trust me, it made for a great conversation that preceded this one along most of these stations. But now it's the big show, and we've got an update that many of you have been asking for quite some time. St. John Hunt, the son of E. Howard Hunt, on the way next hour. St. John Hunt released to us here on Coast to Coast Live, in this case, a couple of months ago, the tape never heard before of E. Howard Hunt explaining how JFK was assassinated. Historically significant, yet didn't necessarily get a lot of traction in the mainstream news media. Some, but we'll talk about that with St. John Hunt and just what he's doing to try to get the word out on what his father admitted before he died. And also, we'll talk about some of the details that may have been confirmed, other people he may have heard from that can help explain some of the things that St. John Hunt reported to us in that tape from E. Howard Hunt. We'll play the tape again coming up later on in the show. First, though, somebody who's been tracking a lot of these types of news stories, both the bizarre and the mainstream, on the FARC.com website. I'm a fan of his work. We'll talk with Drew Curtis and give you some samples of FARC, and we'll talk about some of the weird things that are going on in the news media. And how is it that many of the things which he reports, many of the things that he writes about, kind of been, you know, poached by mainstream news media? Are they doing their jobs? We'll talk about mass media and news with somebody who looks at it from a fun and funny internet perspective in just a few minutes. Also on the way to your phone calls for St. John Hunt, I know that many of you have emailed me with pieces of the puzzle of the JFK assassination. Look forward to hearing from you, too, coming up later on, because all across North America, it's Saturday night. And in for Art Bell, I'm Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM. To FARC.com tonight, you'd see a couple of stories. One, they link to the LA Times, an article about how Ray Bradbury has decided to make news about the writing of his most famous novel, Fahrenheit 451, and saying what he really meant by it. It is not, as he says firmly in the story, about government censorship, nor was it a response to Senator Joseph McCarthy, something which had been taught in just about every English literature class in America that I know of, but rather, despite all the reviews and all the critiques and all the essays over the decades saying that is precisely what it's about censorship, Ray Bradbury's authorized biographer Sam Weller says in the Bradbury Chronicles that Fahrenheit 451 is not a book about censorship. As it turns out, it's all about girls' gymnastics or something. No, it's all about the disappearance of the novel, of reading from television. That's what it was about all along. There's also an interesting story about this new humanoid robot, a child-sized android. You can find out more, too, about various stories, both in the mainstream news media and some of the fringe stories. And then I think indicative of part of our conversation tonight, a story here about how a minor league baseball manager goes postal. That's what it says at FARC.com. Minor league baseball manager goes postal, pulls up bases, crawls through grass, and throws a resin bag like a grenade. And then when I actually went to the link for the story, that's exactly what it said at the news station that was covering the story. FARC usually puts kind of funny headlines. In this case, it just said exactly what the news media had said to describe it. And I think that speaks to the topic. Drew Curtis is with us. He's the founder of FARC and the administrator of this news website. Good evening to you, Drew Curtis.
Evening. How are you?
Good. I think that was somehow that seemed emblematic of this conversation, that your very funny headlines and your always kind of, you know, sort of kind of wanky comments on the site linking to the news story turned out to be exactly how the mainstream news media was reporting that story about a manager going postal. It just, it seems like just kind of what you're talking about in the book, It's Not News, It's FARC, how mass media tries to pass off crap as news.
Yeah, that one was kind of hard to top. In fact, what was strange was, is I live in Lexington, Kentucky, and about a year or two ago, the same thing happened. And literally when I saw that article come in, I thought, oh, somebody's posted a repeat to that. But nope, completely different guy going crazy on the ball field. Go figure.
Yeah. But, you know, I think this is really interesting because I've been a FARC fan for a long time. And I feel like I've been with you through many of your different internet skins. You had some earlier, more simple versions of FARC, or now you have a very complicated website with lots of different categories that you can link up to, and it's been kind of fun to see the website develop. But I'm with you on this idea that somehow the mainstream news media has been really trying to like be more funny, and how they think it's their job to be goofy and lighthearted, and almost in some cases a whole newscast of kickers.
Yeah, it was really strange. I started noticing this trend over the years, the one that I talk about in my book, where we're losing kind of sight of what should actually be reported as opposed to what should be just entertaining. Came across this over the years as I've been doing what we call FARC parties, where I'll just kind of show up in a city, show up in a bar, say, hey, anybody want to come out and have a beer? And people do. And we generally just sit around and talk and drink. And one of the things that people keep bringing up over and over again to me is, where do you go to find real news? And over time, I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting question that people keep asking over and over again, because that would imply that they don't know. You know, if it was as easy as saying Fox or CNN, well, you know, that wouldn't have been any surprise to anybody. People know about that stuff. And I thought, this is really a strange thing. Why don't people know where to find real news? So I started paying attention to the way that sites are laid out and came across a really interesting story on a site called The Daily Kos, which was about how CNN over the years has been changing their website around. For example, they took, it was a screenshot in 2006, stripped all the ads off, stripped all the fake news off, stripped all the voyeur stuff, like the YouTube clips off, ended up with five lines of text. And what was interesting was, is then they went to one of the Chinese state daily newspapers, did the exact same thing, and you couldn't tell the difference. What was really interesting was, is that then they went back in time to pull off of internetarchive.org a copy of CNN from 2000. Did the exact same thing, and you couldn't tell the difference between the stripped-down version of 2000 and the actual page itself, because there was so much honest-to-God real news on there that you just couldn't miss it. It was really, really kind of interesting that back in the day when I started FARC in 1999, I had no trouble at all finding real news. It was actually difficult to dig up strange and funny stories.
Right.
Nowadays, you go to CNN.com, and at least half, if not all, of their stories up there are things like, you know, the Loch Ness Monster, or a kid that has been hiccuping for 2 months straight, or, you know, other things like this that are just kind of goofy stories.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, it was always relegated to the end of the newscast. There was always that one, you know, Skippy, the water skiing squirrel story at the end of the newscast, and the fake anchors had that fake laugh to each other, and they went to the credits, and it was over. And now it's like the whole newscast, they weave these types of very soft, kind of bizarre, but good video stories throughout the whole newscast.
Yeah, this is actually one of the things that'll be kind of strange for people to read the book. I had a couple copies out in February that I had just to show my friends. And we have a bunch of moderators on FARC that every year we get together in Central Kentucky in February and just kind of hang out for a weekend. and talk and just goof around. I left a couple copies of the book out on the table, and a bunch of them read it. And on the last morning we were out, on the Sunday morning, I got up late, headed over to the restaurant where we were all meeting for breakfast, and there were eight of the guys were already in there drinking coffee, and they were all circled around watching the news. And I think it was Fox that was on, but it could have been CNN. It wouldn't matter. And they were all sitting there pointing and laughing and calling out which type of story that I had mentioned in the book they had run. And literally the entire newscast was just one thing after another of just garbage.
Well, and again, we're talking with Drew Curtis about the book, It's Not News, It's FARC, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News. Could it just be fair to say that the whole definition of news has changed? And well, that we just don't think of, I mean, maybe there was this highfalutin definition of what should be considered news, and it came right down to it as the news media realized nobody really cared about that stuff. So if they don't care about it, is it news?
That actually is partially correct. I would say that as far as what I consider to be news is something that I need to know that I don't already know that would be relevant to my daily life. And, for example, you know, knowing, for example, being able to watch the last 2 minutes of a skydiver who fell 5 miles and then survived, or this guy walking around throwing, you know, bases around, or, you know, things like that about tattooed fish or $1,000 hamburgers or whatnot, that really doesn't have a lot of impact in my daily life. I mean, yeah, it's really fun and it's distracting, but I'd put that up there with sitcoms as far as entertainment goes. I think what happened that changed things was the way the news cycle shifted a few years ago. From about 1920 up until about, I don't know, whenever CNN came out, which I guess was the late 1970s, news was pretty much consumed on a partial day basis. For example, radio and TV didn't have 24-hour news, so since they could put together a half an hour or 1 hour news program, and this is going all the way back to the 1920s, they could fill it up with honest-to-God, really important stuff that mattered to you and me, and pretty much have an entire newscast, and they were fine. The minute you started trying to do 24-hour news, however, you end up in a situation where there just isn't enough stuff to talk about. For example, I did a show on Fox News on Monday called Red Eye, and it's a roundup of weird news stuff, which is how I ended up getting on the show.
Right.
So I'm sitting around in a bar talking to a couple guys afterwards, and one of the guys, we were discussing exactly this topic, and one of the guys says to me, you know, that's really funny that you mentioned that. He says, because our show is just an hour long every day, and we struggle to fill this. And this is weird news. I said, I have no idea how the rest of this network operates.
Well, it's the beast that must always be fed. And and I will tell you, from my friends who work in the 24-hour news media, that's the hardest thing about that job is you could put on a great hour's newscast, and you can have the latest stuff from world events as it's happening. You can link up, you get your satellite feeds all right, and get all your reporters. But the hour runs out, and then guess what? You got to do it all over again, and you got to do it 23 more times.
You've got to just keep going, and that's the problem. In a nutshell, is that when nothing's going on, you know, newspapers have to print, internet sites have to update, 24-hour news channels have to talk about something. And for at least the last week, we've had a whole bunch of nothing going on. So they've really, really had to be digging. And it's been kind of a nice banner week to pull out examples of stuff to talk about as far as like wasting time goes.
Well, I have to say, too, I was looking at the site a little bit earlier, and I apologize. You may not have gotten the details here, because on the website, on your site at FARC.com, it said that you were going to be talking with Art Bell. And I just, you know, I apologize you get stuck with loser me.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. I actually knew. It's Art Bell's show, basically, so, you know.
That's fine. And then this other thing, I just got the news that Art Bell had the baby earlier in the week, and nobody told me about it. I've had a particularly crazy week, but nobody told me. So I'm glad to hear everybody's happy and Asia Rain is doing well and all is fine. Let me tell you what I think. I remember a time, it was back in 1993, I was living in Nashville, and I remember this one newscast, and I think this goes to what you're talking about. It was a tease, actually, for the local 10 o'clock news, I won't say which network, and they had I think it was like whatever there was, ER or whatever I was watching. But they actually had the video of somebody who was bungee cord jumping and the bungee cord snaps. And they showed the video. They said, on this little 15-second tease, they said, man, you know, bungee cord snaps as man jumps. They freeze frame it on the snap, and you can see the bungee cord, you know, going up into the air, and the guy going out into space. They freeze it, and they say, we'll tell you what happens at 10.
Exactly.
I thought, okay, that's insane to be talking about a man's life and treating that like it's you know, like it's a the punchline of a joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of what I didn't mention it in the book because I couldn't figure out how to make examples of this. But one of the things you're seeing on a lot of the internet sites right now that they're moving towards video is what I call voyeur video, which is basically like, for example, most popular video on CNN that I mentioned earlier is a skydiver who fell 5 miles. Right. Now, I mean, granted, at least the guy survived, and that's a good thing. But in general, most of the time, it's stuff like, you know, watch as this car explodes as it's been left on the railroad tracks, or watch as a warehouse burns down in suburban South Dakota, you know.
Right.
And it's like, you know, again, of no relevance to anybody. But the funny thing is, again, it ends up being the most popular, not because CNN picked it to be the most popular, but because people clicked on it.
Well, it was already popular, which is why they chose it, which is kind of the weird thing about it, is it really isn't. It's not left up to a journalistic news discretion.
No.
It's left up to, hey, what can we show people that we know has already been tested on some website somewhere that people will go ooh and ah, and oh, you got to stick around and see that again.
And generate page views and thereby generate ad revenue.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And like sometimes I get that. I mean, it can be a story where it I can't think of an example of that off the top of my head, honestly. But I can see where that might be a story where it's such a bizarre thing that ended up on YouTube. And it may have been that in another day, in another era, that video that ended up on YouTube would have gone to a local news affiliate first. It might have gone to a major news network first,
yep.
But it just so happens people can, you know, uplink it themselves and they're just bypassing the media altogether. But other times it's like the screaming effeminate weatherman, you know, in Tampa or Orlando, wherever that guy is, that, you know, where he sees a bug and he starts screaming at a bug.
Yeah,
and like, what does that really have to do with CNN or the news? That part, that's when I don't get it. And I remember when they ran that as a news story.
Yeah, that one's a classic. Yeah, it's definitely the kind of thing that I think YouTube has kind of cut the legs out from a lot of this. And something else that's interesting, too, is I'm seeing a really strong trend on news websites to go towards video. And the main reason for that, most people may or may not be aware, is because you can charge a lot more ad money for that. What's interesting is to watch where the traffic patterns go, because we link to a lot of that same content on FARC and noticing that, for the most part, people will click on stuff that augments a text article. For example, they don't want somebody to read an article to them. They'll read the article, and then there's anything that accompanies it that they think might add to the experience. Like, for example, there was an article that was really hot about a month ago about a really cute polar bear that was born somewhere in Germany.
Right.
Well, people clicked the hell out of that because they wanted to go see the cute polar bear. They didn't really particularly care if a bubble-headed bleach blonde, as Don Henley called him, read the news to him. They actually just wanted to see the thing and get out of there.
Right. You know, you hit on something there, and I want to save some of this for after the break, and we'll give the phone numbers and people can join the conversation here with Drew Curtis from FARC.com. But I mean, when you think about the mainstream news stories, the ones that are really big, you guys cover those too on FARC. You put on, you know, about every, what, 8-10 stories, there'll be something that's sort of in the legitimate news field. So what's your journalistic criteria for what makes it onto FARC, which is otherwise kind of a fun, jokey kind of website?
Honestly, what it is usually somebody has written a really amusing tagline for a real piece of news.
That's it's just a cheap excuse to put a punchline on
there. Exactly. In fact, oftentimes during news flash, breaking news type events, we'll sit back and wait 5 or 10 minutes until somebody submits a good joke, and then we'll run it.
Now, does anybody do, I mean, and you could talk about this even though, you know, nobody's nominating you for a Peabody that I know of, although you could, for all I know, you could end up with one before it's over.
They'll have to make a new category probably.
If not a Peabody, then a Sherman. Maybe you'll get nominated
exactly,
for that.
Exactly, yeah. Or maybe what was the name of that Explorer guy from the same show?
Colonel McBragg?
Was that something was? Like that. Yeah,
Commander McBragg.
That's one of those. That would be cool.
Commander McBragg.
That was it.
All right. So, I mean, you have, when you look at a story, is anybody doing it right? I mean, when you look at what you do at FARC and you look at what CNN does or at Fox News and you go, okay, they're pretty much doing what we're doing on a jokey website.
Yep.
Is there anybody that's really doing it right?
On a website basis, MSNBC.com is doing better than most. If you go on there, it's actually hard to find the weird news on there. It's on there, but they don't throw it in your face, which is kind of nice. As far as mainstream news outlets after that, the Christian Science Monitor is pretty good. But in general, once you get past that, you see a lot of sites in flux that I hesitate to recommend, for example, like Newsweek and Time and whatnot, because these guys are kind of in that middle ground where they haven't quite decided where to go. Because previously, if you bought Newsweek, you bought the entire magazine, and that's all well and good. But now people will go there and they will read one or two articles and then get off. And the problem is the articles they're reading are these really silly, goofy stories. And it's interesting, they're kind of in this quandary of what to do. Do we go and concentrate on the real news and then lose our ratings, or do we concentrate on the goofy stuff and lose our credibility?
Yeah, that's the crossroads. That's where we'll pick it up then, too. Drew Curtis of FARC.com. The new book is It's Not News, It's FARC, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News. And we'll start right there. Also give you the phone numbers you need next. Coast to Coast AM, Ian Punnett in for Art Bell. Well, I was trying to reflect on whether or not I had been on FARC recently, whether anything had come up in which my name got mentioned. And I remember that in fact, it was in one of the chat rooms that something came up about a story we had here about a month ago. In fact, we'll have an update on it after the top of the hour here about St. John Hunt, the oldest son of super spy E. Howard Hunt, who released this tape. And I don't, I think it was a link to something else, but somehow the story came up about this tape we've been playing, which we think kind of reveals how JFK was assassinated. But we've had a hard time, even though it's E. Howard Hunt, even though this is like, you know, the Watergate conspirator guy, and nobody disputes that he had inside information in Washington. It's been really hard to get any mainstream news traction on this. And it brings up another aspect of the news media. And back to the book, It's Not News, It's FARC, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News. Is that there are a lot of politics to kind of what makes it onto the various news networks. And I was told really pretty clearly that it may not make it onto a couple of the news networks because they still have strong family connections or political connections with LBJ. And that's the person that E. Howard Hunt sort of points to as being the originator of this conspiracy to kill JFK. And I thought that's interesting. I mean, that they would let something like that, even a story as big as JFK or a tape like this, even get between even reporting it once. I guess maybe not a big surprise to you, Drew, but I was sort of surprised that they wouldn't even touch the story because of somebody's family connections at the top.
We've noticed some weird stuff like that too. Like, for example, FARC, to my knowledge, has never been mentioned in an AP article ever.
An Associated Press article ever?
Yeah, we asked them about it because we know that there were a few articles they found through us directly because we went and tracked it down a bit. And their official response was is that they don't mention websites in articles, which is of course false. But that was what they told me. So what are you gonna do?
Well, I think that, and you kind of get ripped off a lot, don't you?
Yeah, but it's okay though. I mean, what's been happening lately is we've been getting a lot more mentions from people about that, so it's actually been kind of cool. I have no problem with it as long as we can get the occasional shout out. That's great. But yeah, we have a lot of people that rely on us for that. I mean, Jay Leno uses us, at least his writers do at any rate, and Daily Show, and I mean, basically every media outlet out there on the planet. In fact, that what's funny is that we have a subscription service called Total FARC, which is where you can read all the stuff that gets submitted to the site as opposed to all the stuff that we put up. And
Right.
there are currently upwards of 60 CNN accounts that are being used right now actively. It's really kind of interesting. And then Fox is
Huh.
somewhere in the second range, like around 30 to 40 or so. I haven't looked in a while. I got to check it again.
But you know, but I guess it wouldn't matter so much as long as they're not stealing your material. And
Yeah, we
if
don't
they're
really have a
taking
lot of material per se. What they are using is they're using us as kind of a sounding board to decide kind of what we were talking about earlier, whether or not a story's got legs or not. So, but for the most part, it's no big deal. Every once in a while, somebody will read a headline straight off, but it'd
Yeah.
just be nice to be able to say, yeah, we located this with the help of FARC and then go from there. Because honestly, we're not really doing the journalism. We're just pointing stuff out.
Right. Well, anytime I've ever fallen in love with one of your headlines on FARC, I always attribute them. I always say, and FARC had a great headline because I admire what you're doing, and I don't want you guys to be mad at me.
Oh,
All
thanks
right.
so much. Hey, we're fine with it. Don't worry about it. It's cool.
Okay. All right. So we'll come right back, and we'll see whether some of your other FARC fans out there will join us. But I want to go back to what you were talking about in terms of news credibility versus news popularity,
Yeah.
because I think that also speaks to something else that you all do a lot at FARC, and you see it so much now. It's almost ad nauseum on almost every newscast is all of the interactivity, which is becoming a little overprecious. Next on Coast to Coast AM, in for Art Bell, this is Ian Punnett. So we'll get you a couple of callers for Drew Curtis here in just a second from FARC.com. And then St. John Hunt joins us after the top of the hour, an update on the E. Howard Hunt tape. And we'll play it back for people who haven't heard it yet, in which he lays out how the JFK assassination was pulled off. But you mentioned something earlier about the about something which we would love to follow. We kind of follow on the show all the time. Stuff like a video showing the Loch Ness Monster. You saw the video yourself, I assume, because you had a link for it?
Oh, yeah, sure did.
Okay, kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool, but it's complete crap, man. There's no way.
You don't believe it?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I've got a chapter in the book that's called Equal Time for Nut Jobs, which some of your listeners may potentially take issue with, but I'm just going to go ahead and point out one thing about that, and that is this. That the point of that chapter is to point out that the media doesn't really vet their stuff that they put up anymore. They don't even check it out. They just run it. And case in point, this week, there were two major stories, both of which turned out to be complete hoaxes. One of which was the boy that supposedly killed the gigantic pig.
Right, Alabama. The Hogzilla 2.
Yeah, exactly, which was kind of amusing considering the original Hogzilla was also a hoax. Or rather, I'm not to say that it was a hoax, just to say that the people that killed it and said that they buried it in a random grave in the middle of the forest were unable to locate where they buried it when they had somebody take them there.
Well, wait, I thought they found the bones for Hogzilla, for the original Hogzilla. It turned out to be about 4 feet shorter than what they had originally said. I thought I read a story that said that they did find the bones, but it was 8 feet as opposed to 12 feet.
Yeah, it's all like going on a fishing trip with a bunch of buddies who drank too much, you know.
Right.
Things kind of get bigger and smaller, but this one also was pretty obviously a hoax from the get-go. I was asked about that on Tuesday, and I called that one. The one I kind of missed, but I'm not surprised about, was the one about the reality show in
the kidney.
The
kidney thing in the Netherlands.
Where they were giving away, there was one person who was going to donate a kidney and had to pick between three recipients. And whichever one they picked got the kidney, and the other two, I guess, went off to a horrible death. That ended up being a hoax as well. What was interesting about that one is that in that particular case, there had to have been at least a few dozen people in on that, to the point where any good journalist could have crawled all over that and probably dug somebody up who could have released that information. But nobody went for it because the story that they were doing a reality show was so tempting that they couldn't resist just running it without actually checking this stuff. And therein lies the problem that I point out in that chapter, is that there just isn't enough research being done. Something that we've proved over and over again, time and time again, by running fake news articles on our own site. We haven't done it too often recently, because back in the day when we started doing it, we were just running it to see who was watching us. But we had, for example, one of the most successful ones was done by a buddy of mine who lives in Indiana, runs a website called the Hoosier Gazette. And he wrote an article about how there was a southern Indiana congressman that was attempting to name I-69 to a more moral number. That was pretty much the entire article. And not only did it sucker in everybody, but it actually, they said something like 10 to 20,000 phone calls to that guy's office in the first 24 hours.
Well, let's go back to the kidney thing, though, because I think there's a difference between the Hogzilla 2 photo, which I'll grant you, I mean, we looked at my boys and my teenage boys, and I looked at it, and we were like, so cool, dude. I mean, we thought that was the neatest thing, but we weren't running it on a newscast. We were just gawking at it on a website.
Exactly.
But that's one thing, is that then it seems like nobody wants to be last. I mean, that's the criteria. It's not being accurate. It's just being last.
Exactly.
Okay. But the kidney thing, to their credit, even the producers didn't reveal that it was a hoax until the final show. And they were reporting on it up until that point, when it was being played like to an entire nation and to all of their press releases as a news, as an actual program. So I don't know who they could have gone to vet it.
Yeah, my thinking is that, for example, there are a number of people that were working on this thing. It wasn't like just the producers working on it were the only people that knew. There were the three people involved. There were probably some support staff, et cetera, so on and so forth. I've dealt with some people that are really, really good journalists, like the guys over at the Smoking Gun, for example. If they'd have put those guys on that case, they'd have nailed it in no time flat. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I would be really curious to see what would have happened if somebody actually questioned it. The problem was is that the whole concept was so plausible that it was difficult. They didn't even look at it. They're like, they just went for it immediately.
Well, and the fact that, you know, it seems like, you know, you're right, plausible, because it doesn't seem out of the question that a producer of a reality show would sink to a new all-time low.
I'm just waiting until people start getting killed in reality shows. I mean, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet, to tell you the truth. So, I mean, none of us are shocked by that kind of thing anymore.
Let's go east of the Rockies. John is in Tennessee on Coast to Coast AM for Drew Curtis of FARC.com. He's got a new book out called It's Not News, It's FARC. John, where are you with this?
I haven't dealt with FARC very much, and I don't know too much about the book.
Okay, but you're jumping in because...
Well, I just wanted to put a question to Drew. And Drew, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. I haven't had nearly as much beer as I would like, but I'm working on it.
I was thinking about the same thing myself.
Excellent, very nice.
The question I wanted to put to you is, after 9/11, my local television stations and the national ones, all of them, when you listen to them as far as newscasting goes, and everything you and Ian say about that is absolutely true. But it seems to me that the public is so uninformed because you never hear any mention of, like, the North American Union, SPP, NAFTA Highway, Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, 9/11, or the last thing on the GOP debates, for example, Ron Paul. I've studied him, and the man is trying to say these key words or acronyms.
I'm gonna stop you because I hear a ton about Ron Paul in the mainstream news media. And a lot of people are talking about him, and they were talking about him the day after.
They're talking about him, I think.
Well, I think that there's a different, of course, fans of his or supporters of his would want the news media to keep doing stories on him long beyond the actual debates. But the day after the debate, when that was news, I thought they gave him a lot of coverage.
Well, wasn't there a lot of question about, you know, they did these polls and really, it was obvious. I think it was ABC or somebody said that. They didn't even list him high. I think they gave it to Giuliani or somebody. And then a lot of people called in, and there was immediately a correction. And all of a sudden, Ron Paul was brought forward. There just seems to be, it's so in your face, obvious that nothing happens unless people just scream at them. And the kind of thing they're covering is just really.
Okay. Well, let's let Drew address that.
Okay,
It goes back to the interactivity thing again a little bit, doesn't it? That almost like if you scream enough, maybe they'll change the way they're going to cover a story.
Well, part of the problem has to do with the way the news is covered in the first place, and that is that, for example, on Paul, for example, they could do one article, and a lot of places have done, hey, meet the guy, here he is, this is what he's about. The problem is that unless something spectacular happens after that, you're not going to get a follow-up article, because this is one of the quandaries in news in general is that they can't then report, you know, the following day, oh, hey, here he is. He's still the same guy and nothing's actually happened. If you look at the coverage that's being given to the other candidates, it's mostly about stuff that's kind of changed recently, for example, and a lot of it usually not such good thing. For example, one of the ones I've been seeing the media try like crazy to get going but hasn't had much traction is what New Yorkers really think about Rudy Giuliani, as in kind of like they're really trying to get this information out that New Yorkers really don't like Rudy Giuliani. They've tried to get that going, but what they haven't, they kind of miscalculated on is they don't realize that the rest of the country doesn't really care what New Yorkers think about anything, period. So there's a complete lack of interest in that angle. But then there's other angles, too, and most of them are just, you know, like, for example, if you think about, what do we all know about John Edwards that's been reported in the media lately? Well, he's got a big house, and that's it.
Right.
It's that kind of stuff, basically, that sticks in your head. And so Paul's problem is that he's not doing enough stunts, I guess, or either inadvertently or on purpose. And all he's got to do is do a few little oddball things, like go into checkout line and ask people how a scanner works, or be completely clueless on the price of milk, or accidentally touch a female staffer the wrong way for about 5 seconds, and then he'll get right back in the headlines again, no problem.
Or apply for that opening on Law and Order.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I'm surprised nobody's done that yet, to tell you the truth.
Wildcard line, John is in California on Coast to Coast AM for Drew Curtis of FARC.com. Drew, John?
Hey, Ian, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Drew's very lucky that he gets to talk to somebody who is a man of integrity. I wanted to congratulate you, Drew, on your book. My friend Chris Tyus had told me that your book was going to be coming out and that your website, I had found out about it about 8 months ago. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, yeah. Tyus is a great guy. He and I talk all the time.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm one of their – he works at that online brokerage, and I'm one of their heavy traders. But I got a question for you. I had noticed Al Gore was on the Daily Show, and he was making some pretty good digs at the media.
Yeah.
And during 9/11, anyone who spoke out against the war, even though the evidence was stockpiled against the WMD, they were considered unpatriotic. So I'm just wondering if we've got a bunch of cowards in the media system now, and is it going to take the likes of FARC and also of, YouTube,
right,
to bring reality back to the truth, back to TV again, the news?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's something I've noticed for the longest time. It has to do with the way, like, if you ever wanted to know how to handle the media, watch how the Bush administration has done it, because they've done it great. They basically threatened to cut off access to anybody that asks any critical questions, and it's worked like a charm. It's interesting also to me, too, talking about the way that the media handles politicians, that they'll ask them a question, the politician will answer some completely different question, and then they'll just let them go. I'm really kind of mystified by the fact that that happens, and I have a feeling that that has a lot to do with the reason that the weblogs, the blogosphere in general, has popped up and come on so strong as it has, is because there's a real kind of niche that's available there. They just kind of jumped into the breach and ran with it.
I think he's bringing up an interesting point, though. In a way, if FARC, for example, one of the websites that covers funny news or takes news and makes it funny, and The Daily Show and some of these other types of alternative media, if people are going to these sites and these shows for their news, and we know a lot of people, according to statistics, get their news from The Daily Show, that maybe it is making the news media right now full of crap, and they're covering these stories trying to compete on an entertainment basis with these alternative media. But at the same time, it's going to open the door for somebody else to come in and go, okay, let's get back to doing real news. This is what it looks like. And they'll actually do it, and there'll be a market for it. So maybe you're saving news.
That's exactly where it's going to go. I completely agree 100%.
Okay. So you may actually get that Peabody after all.
Yeah, well, not me. Somebody else will do it. I'm too busy screwing around.
Okay. But being the cause of it all, you might get credit for that. Let's go west of the Rockies. Hans is also in California for Drew Curtis of FARC.com. Hans?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Ian? Drew, I have a question for you.
Sure thing.
Have you ever heard of FSTV, Free Speech TV?
No, I have not, no.
It's on Dish Network, and this news network tells nothing but the truth for the public, because it's a public access TV. Like last night, they broke open the news about how Dick Cheney was trying to put a block on the signatures that was going on about the prostitutes and stuff that was going. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. You know what was funny was I said a tribute to two different people, but one of the articles I saw did say Dick Cheney was one of the guys.
Yeah, but last night, they blew it all open. Bush is very involved with this. He wants it all hush-hush because his name's on the list. Dick Cheney's the one the building that he owned.
Are we talking about the D.C. Madam story, just for people who don't know?
No, there's some kind of an open record, something or other, going through Congress, and there's a secret block being held on it right now by somebody, and they're trying to figure out who it is. And I saw somebody said it was Dick Cheney, and then these are both weblogs, though, pointed out somebody else, like a junior senator from Montana or some crap like that. I can't remember exactly who the other one was.
Well, I like where Hans is going with this, but doesn't that become just another unvetted news source? And if that's, then they're doing the same thing that CNN is doing, which is reporting what somebody else is reporting, and how many things will end up being inaccurate in the long run?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes you'll see some interesting stuff. For example, last presidential election, when John Edwards was picked as the vice presidential candidate, the first information I got on that was somebody actually submitted this to FARC, who read FARC, submitted a picture. They worked at an aircraft, an airport, where they had taken a picture of the aircraft, the campaign aircraft that Kerry was using, and they were repainting the outside to put Edwards' name on the outside of it. And that was the first information we got. So sometimes that stuff is true. Other times, though, for example, there's been this real kind of uptick in the number of entertainment blogs that are out there right now, just covering stuff like Lindsay Lohan going for a walk, or, you know, Paris Hilton, you know, just doing whatever Paris Hilton does. And a lot of that stuff that people are submitting over and over again looks pretty suspicious to me. We keep an eye on it anyways, just in case, because our job isn't, because we're just screwing around, isn't to be first. We're just trying to be, you know, find me a good joke and let's do it from there. But yeah, it's interesting to see how that stuff goes. I completely agree with you.
Well, it's Lindsay Lohan going for a walk and Paris Hilton going for a perp walk. as
yeah,
it turns out.
Yeah, preferably with no underwear. That usually works pretty well.
Yes. So we'll leave it there and just turn the rest of the night over to St. John Hunt coming up. But thank you, Drew Curtis, FARC.com. The book is It's Not News, It's FARC, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News. And it was a pleasure to finally get a chance to talk with you. Love what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Have a good night. And stand by. In for Art Bell. This is Ian Punnett. We'll get back to St. John Hunt. We'll get the update on the oldest son of the super spy, E. Howard Hunt. What's been happening since he tried to break this story of the tape that his dad left him? Next on Coast to Coast AM.